Blog Talk Radio.
Special technique. Special technique of shadow boxing.
Sunday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time here on the MRN Broadcasting Network. We have sister shows coming up on every Tuesday nights at 8:30 with the Cold Hard Truth on sports with the Executioner Matthew Long, and on Wednesdays at 8:30, we have the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show with Kelly Mike, Chi-Town, Carlisle Mathis, and the Mouth of the South, Tony Watley. We are here this week. It'll be a pretty busy show and very active. As we are talking about the fights that are coming up here, in the next couple of weeks, plus the past two. The ones that happened here over the weekend, especially the one that was on Premier Boxing Champions on ESPN last night. So we will be definitely getting on that. The live number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. You press the one key to get on queue, and you'll be able to talk live on the show. I wanted to start off here with an announcement coming up in the next couple of weeks. In September 7th through 11th in Baltimore, Maryland, we have the Amateur Olympic Trials Qualifier coming up in Baltimore, Maryland from September 7th to the 11th. It's called Pathway to the Podium. It's the second Olympic qualifiers going on. And it's the second set of Olympic qualifiers going on for the amateurs that are trying to get into the 2016 games in Rio de Janeiro. You'll have a few, we'll have a few of the amateur people coming in there to compete. We may have some guests coming in for that into the show, probably in next week's show. So be on the lookout for that. All right, getting here into it. You are going to be basically talking about the card that was on Premier Boxing Champions. We're starting off with the main event that happened there between Leo Santa Cruz and Abner Morris that had a couple of belts on the line. It was one fight that people were waiting on, you know, for a while. So, let's see. And both of those fighters were also anticipating this fight. Abner Maris was, you know, waiting on this fight because he was looking towards seeing if he could prove himself against Leo Santa Cruz, who was undefeated at 30-0-1 at the time. He came out there. He was, you know, pretty good. You know, for the first set of his fights before having that knockout loss that he had, going against Leo Santa Cruz, who was undefeated at the time. You know, people were trying to, they were basically criticizing Leo Santa Cruz because of his lack of competition up to that point. But he was able to weather the storm there against Abner Maris, who came out there with a quick start. Once the bell rung that first round, he kind of ran out there to the middle of the ring to meet Santa Cruz, and he tried to blitz him for that first round or a couple of rounds. And, you know, it kind of threw this thing, threw Leo Santa Cruz off for a little bit. What I'm going to do here, before I get into the fight a little bit more, I'm going to take a break, run through a few commercials, and I will be right back.
Football talk like you've never heard it before. Possibly one of the funniest podcasts in sports today. That's right, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have Cali Mike, Chi-Town, Carcell Mathis, and the Mouth of the South, Tony Watley. They give you a different perspective of football that may not be found anywhere else. You may also catch the callers with some classic lines as well.
There's a blackout level.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is off the top of my head.
Okay, I know you're in front of your computer right now. Look it up.
I'm about to look it up right now, all right?
National blackout level.
I never said national blackout level, liar.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes.
No, I didn't.
Okay, Florida blackout level. Whatever blackout level you want to look up, look it up. I'll wait.
You can't compare a fifth-year quarterback to a 20-year quarterback. How do you compare Cam Newton to Peyton Manning? That's impossible.
I don't even think Cam Newton's going to get a contract extension.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the worst franchise in the National Football League. The worst franchise in the National Football League.
The difference between Jameis Winston, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton is Jameis Winston has the ability to lead a team to a championship.
Once again, people, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night on the MRN Broadcast Network.
Jameis Winston is just stupid.
The Cohort Truth on Sports, every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. The Executioner, Matthew Long, talks about different topics in sports, which include football, basketball, baseball, hockey, boxing, and more. The Executioner also invites special guests to talk about different topics within the sports world. So be sure that you catch the Cohort Truth on Sports every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, here we're back on the Bucks and Source Radio Show. Remember, the number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. I press one key to get on queue, and you'll be able to talk live on the show. We're going back to the segment here where we're talking about the premier boxing champions on ESPN card, with the main event being Leo Santa Cruz against Abner Mares. That was in Los Angeles yesterday. Battle of Los Angeles. And the it was a great fight. One of the most anticipated fights of 2015. And one of the most anticipated fights in 2015. And it lived up to, you know, expectations. Like I said in the beginning, Abner Mares came out there beforehand and got a good start. Ran to the middle of the ring, tried to throw off Leo Santa Cruz, started to be more active, really throwing punches there at the beginning. There were a lot of punches there at the beginning. So he was kind of threw off Leo Santa Cruz for the first few rounds. And he was trying to see if he could get a good start against Leo Santa Cruz there. And Santa Cruz was able to weather the storm with some good inside action going on right there with him. And he was able to make his adjustments. And then he basically weathered the storm and got the decision against Abner Mares. And with that, he was able to stay undefeated. He got the WBC Diamond title, and he was able to get one of the other titles that was, I guess, was vacated. So Santa Cruz was able to get that win. He said that he won. Two judges gave him 9 rounds. I don't think he won 9. I think he pretty much may have won 8 rounds, but I don't give him 9 rounds. That was way too close for me to say that he was getting 9 rounds against Abner Mares. So for something that was a potential fight of the year candidate, for them to get 9 rounds there is a pretty questionable. I don't think that, I mean, maybe Mars may have gotten 5 at the most, not 6, but maybe 5 at the most. I thought he would have done a little bit better, but it didn't look like that. So I would say that Santa Cruz is basically able to pull it off there with about 8 rounds. It'll be interesting to see what he's going to have as far as, like, the next fight. I'm not sure. He may be able to, you know, keep the title that he has. The titles that he has, so to speak. It may be saved within that weight class that he's in, where he won the, the Super Bantamweight Championship. So Leo Santa Cruz, there was able to, you know, win the WBC Super Bantamweight Championship. We're going to see if he'll be able to either keep that title and fight someone else within the Super Bantamweight division or go back down to Bantamweight and see what he's going to be able to do there at that weight class. We'll be looking at what he's going to be able to do there, and see what's next. I'd like to move forward here, and see what he's going to be. They also had another fairly good fight there beforehand that I was going to touch on, but I'm not necessarily sure about that. Went on here for a bit. Bear me for a moment. There was another fight there within that card. Bear me for just a moment. That was also a fairly good card that they had. There was a WBC interim junior featherweight championship fight that they had on the undercard between Hugo Ruiz and Julio Ceja. And that fight also was a fairly good fight that they had there. So, there was a back-and-forth fight. I think that Hugo Ruiz was a basic favorite in that fight. He was a taller fighter, had a, you know, much longer reach. He was, his main thing was to be able to, you know, keep good distance, you know, against Ceja. And get a good distance against Julio Ceja and, you know, be able to get the you know, either the easy win or the length and get the knockout there. But he was able to control distance for a while, and in the third round or so, he was able to get Ceja with a good counter shot that knocked down Ceja near the end of that round, and he had a lot of momentum going into the later rounds. And then even into the fourth and fifth round, it looked like he was doing good. But then his mistake was that he was getting close to too close, you know, and that was basically his mistake. He kind of walked into the right hand by Ceja, and that was able to knock him down. Since they had knocked him down, really threw him for a loop there, and it was almost like the fight between Christoph Kowalski and Marco Huck. That was basically the same story there. Looked like, you know, when Huck was, you know, the favorite, if he was able to keep his distance and everything, he was going to be fine and be able to do what he needs to do. He did get a knockdown, but then he got too complacent and got hit with a big shot, which knocked him down, and he ended up losing that fight. Same case here in the Julio Ceja versus Hugo Ruiz fight. There went with Ruiz basically getting too complacent and letting Ceja get into the fight and get too close. And that's what, you know, ended up getting Ceja the win there. So that is, you know, that's basically the gist of what's going on with that fight. What I'm going to do here is I'm trying to look up a few more things. So I'm going to go into a good another break, get some more info, and I'll get back with you. This is the Boxing and Source Radio Show live on the Blog Talk Radio on the MRM Broadcasting Channel.
Hey all, this is Matthew Long, the Executioner, here on the Cold Hard Truth on Sports. Now, I know you've heard me talk about the Touch Pro Basketball on my shows before. My boy, Tony Greer, is the inventor of the ball. If you're out there training and playing basketball and you don't have this ball, you're missing out. Because it's going to help you improve your hand-eye coordination, your dribbling, and your shooting skills. So go today and get the Touch Pro Basketball at touchproball.com.
Sports radio host, producer, news anchor. A few of many, many more careers that the Connecticut School of Broadcasting can lead you to. Go CSB.com or 1-800-TV-RADIO to schedule your studio tour. With an on-hands approach and instructors being broadcast professionals themselves, you're guaranteed to get a first-class learning experience. Get your career in the broadcasting field started the right way. Sports radio host, producer, news anchor. The Connecticut School of Broadcasting. GoCSB.com or 1-800-TV-RADIO to schedule your studio tour.
Executioner here. Now, I'm sure a lot of you listeners are just like me. You like to spend a little time on the internet, sharing video, looking at video, but the problem is, you can't stream live if you're playing on Tumblr or YouTube. Well, if you go right now to Giesel.net, you can sign up for your free account and start streaming live and share that with all of your friends. That's Giesel.net, GEALZ.net.
Why haven't you learned anything?
For sports news, updates, and general tomfoolery, head on over to thechtonsports.wordpress.com.
Gotta be careful, though. We don't want it to get too excited and go off in your hair.
Right here, we are back on the Boxing Source Radio Show. Remember, the number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-37-5539. You press the one key to get on queue, and you'll be able to talk live on the show. All right. Like I said, we touched on a little bit the Premier Boxing Champions card that was on the other day. With Deo Santa Cruz on the Mars as the main event, and also you had Julio Ceja versus Hugo Ruiz. Those were the two fights that were on the card. Um, And overall, that card was probably one of the best cards that, you know, Premier Boxing Champions has had, and probably the best cards that we've seen in boxing for most of the year. So, be a pretty good thing there that you had. So, I think that was kind of what, you know, most boxing fans needed. We've basically gone through the month of August with not that many fights or high profile fights out there. You did have a heavyweight fight between Antonio Tarver and Steve Cunningham. That was the main event for a Premier Boxing Champions card. And we have that Marco Huck versus Christoph Wolacki that was on that same card that, you know, was basically best fights of the year so far. So seeing that, we did have, like I said, not that many high-profile fights and fights for people to watch. That's why a lot of people were really waiting on that Abner Morris versus Leo Santa Cruz fight, because that was like one of the biggest fights out there, you know, over the past couple of months that people could, you know, look forward to. So that was the thing there, and the Santa Cruz Morris fight basically opens up the case, so to speak, for the second half of 2015 and most of the fights coming up there. So we do have a few coming up here, you know, within the month of September. That's coming up within the next couple of weeks. We do have this Premier Boxing Champions card coming up. It's on September. It's going to be September 6th. That'll have a super middleweight bout coming up between Anthony Durrell and Marco Antonio Rubio. That's going to be fairly big. And people are going to be waiting for. So I think that that's going to be one that is, I would say that's a toss-up fight. Because Rubio's a seasoned veteran. And I think that, you know, Anthony Durrell, while he may have a few little skills here and there, I don't think he's like Andre Durrell. I think Andre Durrell is the more skilled fighter. And I think he will be the less experienced fighter there in reference to this. And and I think that he may be he may be in a little bit of trouble here early. Glenn might be able to pull it off against Marco Antonio Rubio. I think with Rubio, this is going to be a super middleweight fight, and most people know Rubio being a middleweight instead of a super middleweight. So you have him coming up in weight, even though he'll have more experience. I think that the extra weight might be kind of a disadvantage to him. Yeah, maybe a disadvantage to him, and I think that Anthony Durrell will be, you know, able to pull it off against Marco Antonio Rubio. Once again, that fight is going to be on September 6th at Corpus Christi. You'll be able to catch it on CBS there. So that's going to be Sunday. Yeah, this it'll be next week, next Sunday. So next Sunday will be the time when we'll be able to see that fight, and there'll also be a title fight on there with Jamie McDonald versus Tomoki Kameda, which will have a WBA regular title there for bantamweight, as Juan Carlos Payana is the WBA super champion at bantamweight. So you'll be able to have one title fight going on there. One title fight going on right there. And you know, for that CBS card that they have at Corpus Christi, Texas. Next up is a fight on September 8th in Los Angeles, where you're going to have a junior middleweight bout going on for the main event. It will be Joey Hernandez there against Austin No Doubt Trout. We had Austin Trout. We had Austin Trout on our show here earlier a few weeks ago. Like I said last week, he is training here in the Washington, D.C. area, and will be able to see we'll be able to see if we could get another interview with Austin Trout before he goes into that fight against Joey Hernandez. It's going to be on Premier Boxing Champions. So, you know, we'll be on the lookout for that. But once again, folks, the number to dial in is 347-237-5539. That is 347-237-5539. You press the one key to get on cue, and you'll be able to talk live on the show. Right. Like I said, moving in from September 8th, this is going to be a very busy, busy week, actually. From September 5th through September 12th, we have a lot of cards on, whether it's going to be on TV in the States or overseas. We have a good amount of fights. Like I said before, on CBS, you're going to have the main event with Anthony Durrell versus Marco Antonio Rubio, with the undercard including Jamie McDonald versus Tomoki Kameda. And I talk about Austin Trout versus Joey Hernandez on September 8th. On Thursday, September 10th, there'll be the return of Zab Judah at Westbury, New York. He's going to be going up against Hemmingson Herrera there. So you'll be able to see Zab Judah returning back to the ring after you know, a 2 year or so layoff. So you'll be able to see him come back. You'll be able to see him come back and be there to fight. He'll be in the junior welterweight division. Once again, that's like the 140-pound division. You know, he used to be the undisputed welterweight champion there at 147, you know, back in the mid-2000s. but now he'll be coming back in the 140-pound division or so. So, you know, just be able to be looking out for that. Just bear with me for a moment here. We're going to be going through another quick break. Plug here our sister show, so bear with us for a few moments.
The Cold Hard Truth on Sports, every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. The Executioner, Matthew Long, talks about different topics in sports, which include football, basketball, baseball, hockey, boxing, and more. The Executioner also invites special guests to talk about different topics within the sports world. So be sure that you catch the Cold Hard Truth on Sports every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Football talk like you've never heard it before. Possibly one of the funniest podcasts in sports today. That's right, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have Cali Mike, Chi-Town, Carcel Mathis, and the Mouth of the South, Tony Watley. They give you a different perspective of football that may not be found anywhere else. You may also catch other callers with some classic lines as well.
There's a blackout level.
What is it?
I don't know exactly what it is off the top of my head.
Okay, I know you're in front of your computer right now. Look it up.
I'm about to look it up right now, all right?
National blackout level.
I never said national blackout level, liar.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes.
No, I didn't.
Okay, Florida blackout level. Whatever blackout level you want to look it up. I'll wait. You can't compare a fifth-year quarterback to a 20-year quarterback. How do you compare Cam Newton to Peyton Manning? That's impossible.
I don't even think Cam Newton's going to get a contract extension.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the worst franchise in the National Football League. The worst franchise in the National Football League.
The difference between Jameis Winston, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton is Jameis Winston has the ability to lead a team to a championship.
Once again, people, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night on the MRN Broadcast Network. Better than diamond ring. That's why we're
here to sing. Jameis Winston is just stupid.
All right, here we're back on the Boxing Source Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. That's powered by the MRN Broadcasting Channel. The number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. You press the 1 key to be on cue, and you'll be able to talk in live on the show. Like I said before the break, we have a very, very, very busy, very, very busy September, especially in the first week once, you know, we get to the Labor Day weekend. We really get into it. We have a lot of cards that are there. Starting from basically starting from September 6th. on Tuesday after Labor Day, and then going into September 8th, we have something September 10th, and then we got something going on September 11th where we touch on the PBC on Spike TV. We got somebody on the line here, 813-758. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, JB? This is Trill. Just checking in. How's everything?
Doing very well, doing very well. You know, kind of busy here. I'm looking at, looking at the fight cards that are going on, and at the same time, I'm trying to run a fantasy league. I got a draft going on at the same time. So, you know, I'm just watching this thing here where, you know, I'm just making my picks and just going through the fights that are coming up here because, like I said, you know, in the previous segment, after Labor Day is when everything starts to really pick up in the sport of boxing.
Yeah, definitely. Like you just stated, this is a good time of the year for boxing. We get our last – we can schedule and pencil our last couple of big pay-per-view fights with the Mayweather fight we know coming up, even down the road with Cotto and Canelo with that pay-per-view fight. But just aside from those two big things, like I said, the schedule is literally littered with different fights. And with the rise of PBC, I mean, aside from all the bullcrap that's going on with Aaron and De La Hoya suing them, I mean, it's a good time for boxing. I won't say great, but it's a good time for boxing. Just with the proliferation of ESPN getting involved with fights, Saturday night, you know, stuff like that, it's just a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But boxing has a chance to be back on the rise, and particularly with Muslim man Al Haymon behind the PBC and pushing that forward. I mean, you got the biggest networks on TV, despite ESPN, NBC, the different affiliates of NBC Sports Network. I mean, these guys are putting boxing back on. You know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. You know.
Yeah, very good thing.
And
you were saying something?
Yeah, I'm a fan of UFC, but I would never ever switch over. That won't ever happen for me. It won't happen. Sorry. You know.
Right. Yeah. Were you able to catch the fights that happened last night?
We saw the Maris Santa Cruz fight, and I'm sure that everyone would agree that it was definitely well worth the wait. And that's what boxing. First of all, boxing needs more fights like that. I mean, and historically, the lighter weights fight better. They give us better fights. But that was really a great fight. And most people said that was a pick-em fight going into the fight, and I certainly agree with that. I picked Santa Cruz to win the fight, and he did win the fight. And my main thought for him to win the fight was his volume of punches that he cares for, and he certainly did that last night, having over 1,000 punches throughout the fight. Was still incredible, even for a flyweight, you know.
Right.
But
it
was just surprising. Like, I'm sure that you saw that Maris came out attacking more than he normally would, you know.
Right.
And trying to assert himself. And ultimately, that was his demise. And maybe he spent too much energy doing that. Or because I think if Maris would have boxed him from first round on, he would have had a great chance to win the fight from a boxing perspective. But he wanted to come in and make it a brawl, make it rough a little bit. But to Santa Cruz's credit, he hung right in there. He took everything that Maris had. I didn't see Santa Cruz hurt not one time. There's a couple times where Maris got in a couple good, solid rights and chopping rights to it. I had an effect, but as far as hurt, Santa Cruz was never hurt. Never hurt. So
right, yeah.
It was a great fight.
Yeah, he was never hurt. Yeah, he was never hurt there. It was funny that, you know, Maris was able to do what he did, and he, you know, he basically ended up throwing 980 punches for that fight. So he almost, you know, reached that punch mark for this fight against Leo Santa Cruz. So it was a tough fight for, you know, both fighters. I had Santa Cruz winning. I say he won about, you know, 8 rounds. You know, I don't think he won 9. 2 of the judges gave him 9 rounds. I don't think he won 9 rounds. Maris was game the whole fight, but he just wasn't, you know, as accurate with his punches as as Santa Cruz was. Santa Cruz was able to, you know, pace himself or basically, you know, stay patient no matter what Marez did in the fight.
Yeah, and then Lexus is, and one good thing, Maris didn't make any excuses for loss, anything like that at all. I'm glad to hear that. No excuses of any injury or anything like that. He just, he know he lost. He didn't give him too much credit, but he know he lost though.
Right.
But, and in addition to that, it wasn't a case of an old dog, new dog. It wasn't like that at all. Because these, because even though they're, I don't know how far apart are they in age. Do you know?
Not sure. I think, what was it? I think Santa Cruz was, what, about 26 or something like that? Hold on, let me check. 27. Yeah, Santa Cruz is 27, and Marez is 29.
Oh, so that's nothing. No, that's not a case. That can't go there at all as far as the age differential. That can't be said, you know?
Right,
but that was definitely a great display of boxing and brawling at the same time, and I was and actually who called the fight? Telly Ellis and I forgot the other guy that called the fight. I think Telly Ellis made a great point where he said he's never seen.
Well, he's never seen what?
He said he never seen Santa Cruz box that well before and use his height and range that well before. Because, I mean, there are so many times where he's effective. He maintained a distance between him and Myers and gave him those combinations that he was shaking his head, you know, back and forth. And it was, the fight was so exciting. Did you see people go to the body? I didn't see anybody go to the body too much. It was pretty funny.
Well, yeah, not too much. And I don't think a lot of people, I don't think, you know, they really had any success on it. But what was so weird that I saw on there was at the end, they ran the stats, you know, at the end of the fight and in the ticker that, you know, Santa Cruz had an advantage in jabs, landed jabs 71-7.
Really?
Like, Abnamaris only landed 7 jabs that whole fight. I was like, wow, really?
That's a big stat. But keep in mind that, like we said, Santa Cruz maintained that distance between them. But at the same time, Maris came out to try to throw bombs, and that's what his strategy was. Even he said his corner told him to settle down some and come up on him, but he never did that. And truly,
right.
I think by the third round, he expended a quarter of his energy, which dictated his performance for the rest of the fight, you know. He couldn't keep up that pace. Not at all.
Nah, he couldn't. He couldn't. And, you know, that was basically the main difference in that one. And you know, a lot of people are pretty much, you know, asking for a rematch because of the action in that fight. Even if they did have a rematch, I would pick Santa Cruz in this case. I did pick Marez to be, you know, in the first one. I thought Marez would be able to take it. I did start off real good, but he just really couldn't, you know, keep up with Santa Cruz's volume, and he, like I said, he couldn't land as well on Santa Cruz in comparison to Leo getting to him. So I think a lot of people that, you know, within Los Angeles enjoyed that fight. People that were watching enjoyed that fight. Just like they enjoyed the first fight that was on, between Hugo Ruiz and Julio Seja. That was also a good fight, which I said earlier in the show that it was in comparison to the Marco Huck Chris Okwuraki fight that was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and I missed the first fight from last night, and I also missed the Marco Huck fight. But I did read about the fact that he got knocked out, which was a total surprise to me. That was just a surprise, you know. But just one point about the Maris-Santa Cruz fight, I got so tired of hearing a number of people saying that Santa Cruz hasn't fought anyone. Now, he hasn't fought any top names like that, but he ain't fought no bums. He's not no Wilder where he's just building a name off of nobody's. I've seen a number of Santa Cruz and he's always fought solid people, you know, no one that comes in to lay down for a payday or anything like that. So I resent that about what was said about that. But he definitely proved it last night, though, with the win. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's true. And, I mean, I was kind of one of those people that kind of criticized Leo Santa Cruz's competition. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, a murderer's row, so to speak, but, you know, he has fought a few qualified guys. It was, you know, just not the, you know, the type of people that Marez has fought or, you know, a few of the other guys that are amongst the top of, you know, the divisions that he was floating around. So that's what kind of, you know, was a doubt of mine with Leo Santa Cruz. But, you know, with this, you know, with this key win that he has, he was able to prove himself against a rugged veteran like Abner Marez.
Well, and since you said that about Marez, I would definitely give Marez credit for the quality of competition that he fought. But let me ask you a question. Did you see the first Marez at Beckel fight?
Didn't see that first one. I think that one was a real close fight, though, wasn't it?
No, it was not. Score-wise, it was close, but feel like this with your eyes. Joseph at Beckel won that fight, and that was in a mini flyweight 4-man tournament. I think with at Beckel, Darchinian, Maris. I forget the third fourth guy's name. I think Ancelino Marino, I think his name is, I think something
yeah,
like that.
Anselmo Marino.
Yeah, but Marez at Beckel was in the first round on this side of the bracket. And Marez repeatedly low-blowed him fouls. And I think he only got called for maybe one. And it was blatant. It was so blatant, you know. And the ref never penalized him. Never took a point or anything. And one point, one of the little blows, Beckel, I think, took the full 5 minutes to try to recover from it or something like that. But it was just blatant, and in the fight, they get to fight to Maris. And not just that, but Beckel straight up beat Maris. Straight up. With eye tests and everything. So I credit Maris. I've always liked Maris, but when that happened, I lost some respect for him, and Florida Boxing took a small hit with that decision, because you see decisions like that every now and then. When they got a good, solid guy, they push him to the top and try to make him a star. I understand that, but that was a flat-out wrong decision on that one. But I like Mirzo. He's great. He's great.
Yeah, he's a very, very good fighter. Very good fighter. It's just that, you know, it's just in this case he just couldn't keep up with the activity of Santa Cruz. I think, you know what, Santa Cruz kind of reminds me of a smaller version of early Antonio Margarito. Early version of Antonio Margarito. The amount of activity that he has.
That's a good
assessment. Yeah. Because he's very active, make sure that he, you know, is putting his hands up there, make sure it's like his offense is his best defense. The amount of punches that he throws, you know, just kind of keeps his opponent on their toes. They can't, like, really give a good counter against, you know, Leo Santa Cruz. So that's something that, you know, prevents them from basically getting the success that they really need.
Yeah, initially I had a concern, too, that Maris, due to that, his competition level may have been too strong, physically too strong for Santa Cruz, but we saw that resolve that Santa Cruz showed when Maris was trying to rough him up against the ropes. He said, nah, dog, it ain't going down like that. I'm getting out of these ropes, and I'm gonna tie you up, run you around, too. You ain't going to do me like that. So I applaud him for that. But I thought Maris would be too strong, but didn't prove it out to be that way. He used his boxing and lit him up when he had to. That was great. Great.
Yeah. So that was a fairly good card on Premier Boxing Champions on ESPN. We got a few other things coming up here, you know, in the month of September. I was going to get into the card that was on Friday, September 11th, that's going to be on Spike TV. We're going to be able to see Errol Spence Jr. Once again in a 10-round fight against Chris Van Heerden. And the main event, of course, is the WBC light heavyweight champion Adonis Stevenson against Tommy Carpency in Toronto. So we have, what a definite mismatch right there, man. I mean, this one is even worse than Kovalev versus Muhammad. I can't believe this one, man.
Well, I heard some rhetoric from Adonis Stevenson. He said that if Al Haymon gets on board, he will fight Kovalev next year. I read that on one of our one of the boxing sites I frequent pretty often. Everything.
What did he say?
That Adonis Stevens stated that if Al Haymon gets behind it, he would agree to fight Kovalev.
Next year?
Yeah, next year.
Okay. Well, I mean, that would probably be, you know, fairly good, but it's either next year or never, because these two guys are pretty much up there in age, you know, so it's not like they can really, you know, it's not like they can really basically say that, you know, they'll be out there as far as, like, being active, you know, for the next 1 or 2 years or so. So it's either now or never. And guys like the other Russian that's out there that just basically started his career, I mean, he's off and running. He's knocking out guys left and right. They tried to get an IBF eliminator for him against Hopkins. Hopkins turned it down. A couple of other guys turned it down. I think Isaac Shalemba turned it down. So he's basically going to be fighting like the 7th or 8th ranked guy in the IBF for the eliminator there, you know, for the number one contendership for the IBF. And that's mainly why he didn't necessarily jump on going up against Kovalev so fast, because they didn't want him to go up against Kovalev on November 28th because it would basically be under Kovalev's terms. But if he's able to have this fight for the number one contendership and win it, then IBF is that fight, if it ever happens, it's going to be a purse bid, and he's going to get more money, and it's going to be probably more in his favor because it's going to be Al Haymon's money and PBC and all those other networks against HBO. And HBO ain't going to win this one. I don't think HBO is going to win this one. So they'd rather see if they could just wait out on the purse bid and see if that could happen, then to see if they'll have him fight, you know, better be a fight Kovalev on November 28th when they don't necessarily think he's, you know, ready for it right now at this point.
Yeah, one thing, too, that we've already said in previous talks about Adonis Stevenson, we've already confirmed that I think the community has lost respect for him when he had the chance to fight Kovalev, who was right there and ready to fight, ready to win, ready and all that stuff. He didn't do it. We know it's not going to happen this year. If he doesn't fight Kovalev next year, I mean, it's just more the same. Because the only person that I could even accept Adonis Stevenson fighting right now, or even next year, early next year, would be Pascal. He's always been a favorite. But I mean that fight alone, for one, I think would be winnable, a very winnable for Stevenson, given the styles, and given the limitations of Pascal. That would be a great fight. That would be a great money fight for them, you know, to propel them into a Kovalev fight. I mean, only person outside of Pascal that I wouldn't mind seeing Stevenson fight, and you may chime in for this, would be Butte. if Butte can win a couple more fights, get some good competition, that'd be a good Canada fight between Butte and Stevenson. And then for like a summer fight for Kovalev Stevenson from that point, you know.
Only with it being a you know, all Canadian type fight would, you know, with that one make sense between Dushan Butte and Stevenson. So, you know, for a fight like that, yeah, that's probably, you know, something that would be fairly good. Is Dushan Butte versus Adonis Stevenson. As far as Pascal is concerned, I don't think that's going to happen. There's more, like Pascal has kept talking about him facing but he was talking about fighting Kovalev once again in a rematch, which I don't think, not many fight fans would be looking forward to, looking forward to seeing again. So I don't see how that's going to basically turn out.
Well, at this point, they're looking for someone to Kovalev to fight for right now, and Stevenson could fit back into that plan for rematch. Even though I think it would be more the same it would be the same result from that fight.
Because if you think about it, the Pascal thing. I mean, they went over to Pascal's home to fight, so. I guess, you know, this time they would go over to Kovalev's area to fight, you know. So that probably would be something there for to do. I'm thinking about who Kovalev would fight, you know, here on November 28th. I don't know if he'd fight, like, Skoglin or his WBA guy. He can't even fight the WBA champ. Regular champ, because he has a fight this month. You know, so. I'm trying to look at the rankings here for light heavyweight, and I really can't see who else would be there for him. I mean, I don't know who Dominic Basil is, but that looks like another guy that. That could be something, you know, for people to get. So, or for Kovalev to pick. So it's going to be up in the air.
Yeah, well, just one thing, going back to what you were saying about the schedule going forward for the rest of the year, is very important because this next schedule for the rest of the year heavily plays into the fights that we forecast and eventually will get made for next year. You know, like I said, the Quillen fight, we know he's fighting a nobody, but he does need to fight. We do need to see him. It took to keep that public demand going. Cause we, like we talked about before, Peter Quillen needs to be in a great fight next year. We don't know who, we don't know where the piece is going to fall, but with Triple G and Lemieux fighting, Peter Quillen fits somewhere into that scope for next year. Even something like we already know about the super middle, junior middle, Colo Canelo. We know about that.
Right.
Who else is on the schedule for this year that's significant, or just even mid level?
Like I said, you had Mayweather Berto, you had Colo Canelo, and then you had the other middleweight thing, Lemieux versus Lemieux versus Golovkin in October. You also had the heavyweight title fight between Vladimir Klitschko and Tyson Fury in October as well.
Yeah. I mean, just other than that, like we just talked about, the proliferation of boxing back on TV, it's a big deal. I know it's coming back during football season. But nevertheless, boxing is there. It's making its name for itself, and it's out there for people to see it on free TV. So people can't complain about that. But
But like I said, it's very interesting for the rest of the year, how it goes forward. Sets up some good fights that we can at least talk about making, and hopefully the people can get together and make these fights, you know, because these guys are going to be free. So many different venues out there now, you know, so let's get it done. Let's get it done, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a real good thing there with that. And I think there was like another fight that I was seeing if there was something that was of note. That may be in October, because I don't think there's anything scheduled for November at the moment. Other than a delayed that fight that was supposed to be on September 19th between Andy Lee and Billy Joe Saunders. That was for one of the other middleweight titles. It was supposed to be September 19th, but they are delaying it. So I think they delayed it to, well, I thought it was November, but what is it going to be? I guess it's going to be in October maybe, but I'm not sure. Yeah, it's going to be October 10th when they delayed that WBO middleweight title fight. So there is that. And what else is there? Terrence Crawford is fighting October 24th, that same day as the Klitschko fight. So you'll be able to see Terrence Crawford in action against Thierry John at the 140-pound division. Like I said, I think Crawford is the best guy out there at 140 right now. So, you know, he'll be able to, you know, do his thing there. But that's the other thing about, what is it, the 140-pound division? They have, I think there's that one, and I think there's two fights on October 3rd that basically give the landscape of the junior welterweight division. Because October 3rd, you have Matisse Postol for the WBC title, and you're going to have Adrian Broner fight Alec Verdiev for the WBA title. So you may get a unification belt next year.
Also, just a minor note too, Zab Judah fights on September 10th. If he looks good, he could potentially be an opponent for like a Terrence Crawford next year. I could see that. What do you think about a Crawford Judah fight next year? Early,
oh.
just because keep in mind they won't keep Terrence Crawford active. He only had two fights this year. They only just got to fight like four times a year.
They keep him active, but I don't think Judah would be able to take Crawford. I'm telling you, Crawford is way too skilled. He's young. He's very skilled. He has speed. He has a little bit of power behind him. So, yeah, if Judah goes up against Crawford, you know, sometime early next year, like January or February, I wouldn't think that Judah would, you know, be able to get something like that or be favored to win that fight. I think he needs about two or three fights, you know, to get in before he could challenge for a 140-pound title belt. What would be fun, though, is if Zab Judah ended up fighting Adrian Broner. If Adrian Broner won his fight.
That would be hilarious.
Because a lot of people compare Adrian Broner to Zab Judah as far as, you know, talent goes and what has happened over the course of their careers. They've been, like, going through similar paths, you know, so to speak. But, I mean, with Zab Judah, at least Zab Judah was able to, you know, even after a loss or two, he was able to, you know, get titles. He was able to win the Undisputed Welterweight Championship after losing to Costa Zou. So, you know, it's still, you know, they were still able to do something like that, even with a loss or two, you know.
Yeah, that would be a very interesting fight, and I would say now a very fouled field fight.
low blows, back talk, all kind of, man, that'll be a fun fight.
There'll be a lot of smack talk in that fight. And I think now with Broner being on Showtime this time around instead of being on a Premier Boxing Champions Network, he's able to, you know, be the Adrian Broner that a lot of people know and hate. You know, so he's able to, you know, be the can man once again and say, you know, I'll take on all of them, you know, Mexicans, yeah. Africans, Puerto Ricans. Yeah, he'll be able to, you know, say stuff like that once again. That kind of like got him to the point where he was until he, you know, basically won that title over Paul Malignaggi. But yeah, if he's able to get this win over Khabib Nurmagomedov to win the WBA title, I wouldn't mind seeing him fight Zab Judah next year. That would be a pretty good fight right there, you know. So there is that, and what are the things that we have? It's like I said, man, September and October really, really filled up with good fights, you know, right now. So that's something that, you know, people will be able to look forward to.
Well, I mean, just briefly, the Crawford Judah fight, that's that classic upcomer that's a lion right now against that solid name opponent. That's that class fight that you see in boxing all the time.
Right.
You know, so
right.
That's it. Judah can come back and give a decent performance. I mean, I've always loved Judah, but he's always been pretty much a 6-7 round fighter. And after that, he starts doing his low blows and his gas runs out the tank, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest even the same for him now, which kind of surprised me. I forgot who it was that re-signed him this year and made a sort of an announcement about it, about him getting re-signed. Because Judah at this point, he has to be like at least 35, at least, you know.
Yeah, he's around 35, yeah. Yeah.
And interesting point that we talked about earlier, too, Adonis Stevenson, he's also 35, too. So at the same time for him, they're sitting back in that war room trying to carefully plan this guy's future out and try to make it go as long as they can, which is the reason why you're seeing Stevenson in these little, sorry, not hardly competitive fights and trying to maximize the money they can get out of this guy. He's been a late bloomer, which I can understand that.
Yeah.
But of course, us as a box fan, we suffer from that by seeing bad fights on TV and everything. And that's him to fight the top guys. Because, like, Kovalev, we already know this guy's destroying everyone. You know?
Yeah.
But even though he's doing that, you still can come back from that. You still can.
Yep.
It doesn't mean you're through. It doesn't mean you're washed up. I mean, unless you get hurt from that, you know. So, it's like, that's why I don't like Stevenson from not taking that fight. I mean, it's like you're scared of the guy. If you're scared, you are
going to
be scared. You know?
Yeah, I like that. That thing about, you know, being scared, that you are going to get hurt. So that's pretty much in every sport. I think if you play scared, you're most likely going to get hurt. If you, you know, play with all of your might and everything like that, most likely you're not going to get hurt. Right now we got another person on the line, 317-263. What's going on?
What's happening, man? This is Jamal Stennis.
Hey, what's going on, brother Jamal? How you doing?
All right, chilling. I was watching a fight last night with Mars in Santa Cruz. It was a damn good fight once you turned to volume down. Commentators just kept talking about May the 2nd so damn much.
Oh, yeah, man. I couldn't necessarily catch the last part of it live or whatever it is, but after the fight, I think they did talk about that whole thing with Mayweather Pacquiao too, man. I think they were trying to give a few jabs here and there, man. And yeah, I didn't think that was necessary at all.
No, but, you know, Floyd generates that type of talk. It's amazing how you can do how you do a scrub the way you do everybody else. You scrub them, and everybody get mad at you. Manny was the one that didn't have the footwork and the speed and the punches and angles and all the stuff they was advertising. He got out there and looked like a novice.
Yep. Yeah, he sure did look like a novice out there. So, and that's the thing that I keep bringing up is like when you have somebody like a Marcos Maidana, you know, make more of a fight out of Floyd Mayweather than Manny Pacquiao did, and nobody says anything about that, then you know what's up.
Well, all you got to do is look at the decline of Manny Pacquiao, and I don't care. I don't even argue with the ignorant people no more. He obviously was on the juice, and you take the fact that he can't take his juice and his declining skills and his flawed ability to be able to box on the level that Floyd does, the whole 5-6 years of acting like they were going to want to fight Floyd was a farce. They wouldn't have never really fought him had Manny's money got totally messed up. They didn't have to because they was pimping Floyd's name and fighting bums.
Right.
And I do say bums. Like, how you going to defend your WBO welterweight title against a junior welterweight that's unknown, whose claim to fame was beating Ruslan? Who in the hell is Ruslan beat? He just out there looking good because he's getting hit in the face. You know, I'm an old school person, man. And I like good fights, but I like people who know how to fight. If I want to see a brawl, all I got to do is go down to the bar.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, with providing the coffee, you really have somebody that, you know, is in a fight, but he doesn't have any big wins. He didn't win against Bradley. He didn't win against Algieri, and he didn't win against Lucas Matisse. So that's basically the gist of his career right there.
So with a record like that, though, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, I doubt it, though. Manny Pacquiao won't fight him, but he has a tendency to fight people who will be losing. But that'd be an ass-whooping he'd get, though, because Manny, if he have to take a drug test before a fight, he'll get jacked up by these young guys in the game now. It's unfortunate
right.
How everybody wants Floyd to beat everybody that's coming up, even if they don't deserve it. Manny done got knocked out, done got schooled, and nobody's having a demand for him to fight his way back in to being a contender because that boat has already sailed. They're trying to pimp you, everybody, to get another Floyd Mayweather payday. And I already know from a great inside source, Floyd ain't blessing them no more. Even the haters have to admit it to themselves. Even the casuals have to admit it to themselves. That fight ain't worth it. And the only reason why they charged $100 was because the ignorant people that was hyping it up and I guess people start believing the stuff they were saying about Manny O. But when a person is 3-2 in their last 5 fights, was brutally knocked out and been cherry picking after they woke up, Manny didn't deserve that fight. But had Floyd not went ahead and schooled him, that would have been another instrument for them to use to hate on Mayweather, man. They act like Floyd is still on the come up, you know, and that's unfortunate because Floyd been boxing longer than a lot of these kids in my boxing group been alive.
Yeah. All right. If we got like another person that's on the queue, but I'm going to leave them on the queue here for a little bit. We got about another 10 minutes where we're live, and then we're going to overtime after this. So the number to dial in, 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. Press the 1 key to get on queue. Going back to, you know, Floyd Mayweather, and you have the card, you know, coming up here on September 12th, which is a fairly good card. We did have, Badu Jack against George Groves there for a super middleweight title. And, we also have, another title fight going on there. Orlando Salido versus Rocky Martinez. That's a rematch. And
You know, we also have like Johnny Gonzalez fighting and Fane's Martel Sinyon fighting Nishay Smith. You know, one of my guests is, you know, here almost every week, basically is not sold on Badu Jack and he's not sold on Nishay Smith. Saying that Nishay Smith has got way too many chances out there and he pretty much like doesn't quite know how Nishay is, you know, basically getting all these chances with Floyd. But I mean, hey, he got one of his shots right here, so he gotta make sure that he comes through if he's gonna be able to, you know, fight for a title in the future.
Yeah, I think Nishay Smith though is basically running around with a TMT tattoo on his back. Everybody, these boxers out here that's gonna be going to Mayweather Promotions is gonna see that Floyd can get you some work. And that's just advertisement. Because once Floyd do hang him up, Golden Boy is gonna be a thing of the past. Once Canelo gets exposed again, because I guess he got a pass for looking like the amateur that he is, and then knocking out Kirkland without Ann Wolf is not impressive to me, because I've seen Kirkland get knocked out in the first round by a Japanese dude without Ann Wolf. Totally different animal when he got Ann Wolf with him. Golden Boy knew what
yeah.
he was doing. I would be surprised if that was part of the contract, you know, Ann Wolf. She motivates
mm-hmm.
Kirkland. She brings the animal and the beast out in him. And when he goes out there cutting
right.
corners and undisciplined in his training, he gets knocked the hell out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, Ann Wolf is the one that really pushed, you know, Kirkland to be, you know, the dangerous fighter that he could be. And when she's not there, you know, he's a totally different fighter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She's got a hell of a good training regime for him. And she motivates the hell out of him to utilize the things, the stamina and the ability, the nonstop punching that she had him built up to as far as his cardiovascular and road work and everything. He walks through those 154 guys when Ann's with him.
But not just that,
right.
though, in regards to Kirkland. Look at Kirkland's strategy in the Canelo fight. Look at Kirkland's strategy in the Angulo fight. Even though he beat Angulo, look at his strategy. I mean, this guy's coming out throwing bombs. There's no boxing. At some point in time, when you've got that many years in the game, you got to let that boxing take over and take you through when you find those top-level people like that. I said,
I feel like you need to do what works. And you need to stick with the person that's giving you that work and making you be able to get the job done. To try to change his game this late in stage when he already see what his most effective way of beating people down is, I disagree. He shouldn't try to learn how to box. He should continue to bring the pain like he does, but does it in an aggressive way in which Ann Wolf's able to motivate him to. He shouldn't try to be nothing that he's not. So,
well,
I don't buy that crap that he needs to learn something this late in the game. He is who he is, and Ann Wolf has the key to unlock who he is. Otherwise, he's just going to go out there and get his ass beat again.
Well, I totally agree with you in regards to Ann Wolf. I love Ann Wolf and the pairing of Ann Wolf and Kirkland together. Totally agree with you with that. But when you find
another... Yeah, because when I look at it like with Ann Wolf, with him, it's same like with Mike Tyson had Kevin Rooney. Certain people can bring out what you need to do to be effective. Once Kevin Rooney left, Mike Tyson was getting his ass whooped, you know, because he wasn't doing the exact same things under the custody of my old mentor that Rooney was.
Right.
He got away from that. Like people can say, though, Tyson messed up when he got with Don King. No, Tyson was messed up when the state of New York gave him to custom model because Tyson as a boxer was awesome. But you don't get a kid 11-year-old and don't teach him how to read and write or anything and don't go to jail for not sending him to school. You just take him up in the Catskills like he's a pit bull and just teach him how to be a barbarian. If Mike ever got horny, they'd go get him some prostitutes and stuff. Mike didn't have no people skills or anything. But as far as his fight game, though, it was poetry in motion with Kevin Rooney because Mike gave up height, reach, and he was still able to get right in your face and kiss you if he wanted to because he had the bob and weave down properly, moving at the waist and the head. After that, he just relied on intimidation. And when Buster Douglas came out there and said, man, you're a little dude, and I'm going to show you, and he just jabbed him. And Tyson couldn't walk right through him. Whereas if Kevin Rooney would have been in his corner, he'd have had him bobbing and weaving. With Spory and Holloway, they was just on. They was groupies. They wasn't trainers.
Right, right.
But Kirkland,
yeah,
without Ann Wolf, will get knocked out again. I don't care who he fight. He could even fight a pillow-fisted person. To attrition, he'll lose because he don't know how to continue to be the monster that Ann Wolf created him to be. And he can't be nothing else.
Wait, he's at light middleweight, right? So,
who
yeah,
balloons
he
up
is
to 220
is
pounds
it
between fights?
Yeah. Like somebody like a Demetrius Andrade would probably be able to, you know, get him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, Andrade, man, I don't know who his handlers is, but he don't get no work.
Yeah, he definitely hasn't gotten no work. Definitely has not.
Because
no,
I've seen him coming
that
up
basically
and he was asking people. He need to get with the money
yeah
team.
Yeah, yeah.
Really,
I mean, I think, yeah. Yeah, he needs to be signed by Mayweather in this camp because, you know, I don't see anybody else trying to sign him. Well, no, wait. Rock Mason tried to sign him, and then, you know, his former guys is, you know, kind of, you know, put him, just like basically held him up, you know. So it's almost like the same situation that Andre Ward went through.
Right. And Andrade got to get it together because he's not going to get the love in his mid-30s that they give him Triple G. Triple G getting much love to not have him beat nobody. I've been hearing him mentioned in the conversations with all-time greats and everything. Then when you ask
yeah
somebody, well, who is he? And then they say you hate him.
Yeah. Yeah, they try to put him in the list of top 10 middleweights of all time or something like that with Golovkin and, like I said, he hasn't really put him, they haven't put him up against anybody of note. You know, this thing with Lemieux is his first, you know, fight with somebody that's within the top 5 or 10 in the division. And even then, I mean, the biggest criticism that they say about Lemieux is that he got knocked out by Rubio. So, and that necessarily can't work. We got about 90 seconds left. Yeah, hold on. We got about 90 seconds left for the live call-in, but we got somebody else coming in, too. We got 773 area code. What's going on? Area code 773. You live? All right. He couldn't get in. All right. So, yeah, you can continue, Jamal.
Yeah, well, I'm going to just give my observation of Triple G some more, but people say that's hating, so I'm just going to let that die because I'm talking to some knowledgeable boxing people, so y'all know what it is.
Yeah, true that. Yeah, we're pretty much getting into the overtime portion of the show. Like I said, I pretty much went through most of the fights that are coming up here in the month of September. We have one more week, and then, you know, after Labor Day Monday, we got, what is it, about 3 or 4 different cards from September, you know, September 8th through September 12th. That's like 4 different cards going on. So it's going to be really, yeah, it's going to be a really busy month next month.
Mm-hmm. That's what's happening.
So,
I'm glad that I've noticed since about 4 years now, Floyd been trying to bless Berto with his payday. And Berto went out there and messed it up every time. He got whooped by Ortiz, so Floyd had to take the title from Ortiz. Then Floyd was going to give him the blessing if he whooped a Guerrero, but Guerrero won, so Floyd fought Guerrero. Now Floyd is finally giving the brother a shot. And I'm waiting for the fight to happen because I already know Floyd going to win. But I know that it's going to be more exciting than what we saw. I guess I'm getting like those announcements last night on May the 2nd, you know, because Berto is going to fight. Whereas,
yeah,
you know, Manny, he didn't want to fight, though, man, because he got hit with that first counter and he got gun shy and he started having visions of sugar plums dancing in his head. And then he, you know, the hate kicked in where everybody was saying, why ain't Floyd do this? Like, Floyd did everything he do in his other fights. Like, with Berto, though, they're saying that Floyd's been taking training lightly and everything. That's marketability right there. So they can create interest in the haters who think that finally Floyd Gary could beat. They're playing the game.
Yeah, he was basically playing the game. I don't know if, you know, y'all saw the open workout they had earlier. You know, they had the open workouts earlier earlier in the week with Floyd. And, you know, so there he was able to, you know, do his thing off and on. So he had his, you know, open workout. Pearl had his open workout in Los Angeles. Yeah, but I don't think that Mayweather is really, you know, taking this whole thing easy. It's just the whole thing is just he's, you know, making sure that this is his last go around, and his last hurrah. So he's basically gonna do everything the same like he used to do. It's like he said on the first installment of All Access. It's like, well, all he needs is about 20, 28 days to basically get ready for a fight. And, you know, in between his last fight and those that training days, he can do anything he basically wants and basically keep his weight.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see the Berto fight. I'm looking forward to it. Too, because I don't care if Floyd was fighting my little nephew. I want to see the fight. You know, I get tired of people hating on the sweet science. And nobody executed better than what we got right now in our lifetime, and so many people hating on it is actually missing out on a beautiful thing. But those same people 30 years from now, when the new flavor of the month is out, is going to be telling their grandkids, oh, we had a kid back in our day that talked a lot of crap named Floyd Mayweather that whooped his butt. But at the same time, they question, like, whether or not he got hard or anything now. Hate some of.
Right.
But let me ask you something, because somebody put something in my group. I want to get your opinion on it. Don't you think calling people Flo Moses is a way of calling you a nigger?
Say that again?
It almost sounds like it doesn't.
It is. I don't see no black people calling. Even Floyd Mayweather haters don't call us Flo Moses. But I ain't got no shame in my game. I respect the hell out of Floyd's game. Been respecting his game since he got faded in the Olympics. I was like, oh, man, that little dude going to be bad. Too bad they faded him like this. I hope that don't kill his heart. But then when he gave his interview after they robbed him in the Olympics, he said he just waiting for his dad to get out of prison, and they're going to conquer the boxing world. And that's what happened.
Yep, that's exactly what happened with that one. And yeah, what's going on? Just a
that's
quick note
hope,
here.
No,
just I say here, 813-784, you're live right now, so you can basically chime in when you can.
I just hope that Terrence Crawford get away from Bob Arum before he gets wrecked.
Yeah, that's the thing with Crawford, man. I don't think that that Bob Arum and Top Rank will be able to give him the chance that, you know, he basically needs to really shine. Right now, you know, after his little fight here with De'Ari John, I would be interested to see if Top Rank will be able to work with Golden Boy and set up a fight between Crawford and Lucas Matisse next year. If Matisse beats Victor Prostyle, because that would be a great unification bout there at the 140-pound division.
I don't even care about Crawford until he get out from under Top Rank, because he's going to get done like Arum was trying to do Floyd. He's going to keep him away. Bob Arum, for some reason, don't know how to or don't want to promote black talent like he should.
I don't. Yeah, and he don't promote Tim Bradley like he should either.
Right now,
I wonder.
But
Bob Arum, though, man. Like, I mean, you saw. I mean, we saw how, you know,
he did Guillermo Rigondeaux after that fight against Nonito Donaire. And basically, first what he did was, after the fight, they said that Nonito Donaire had an injury. Yeah, that same old little shoulder injury that Manny had. Yeah, I didn't pull that same thing years ago. With Nonito Donaire. And then after that, they really didn't have Rigondeaux fighting almost for a year. Then he fought somebody. I think he might have fought Agbeko next after that or something like that, but it was like almost a year until his next fight. And then, you know, after that, he's basically, you know, been on hiatus, only fighting like once or twice a year. They were talking about him fighting Vasyl Lomachenko, and we basically, you know, that's not really going to happen. So, that fight has basically been shot down. So, yeah, we don't know what they're going to be end up doing with Guillermo Rigondeaux. And I think he's not with. I don't think he's with Top Rank anymore. I think he signed with somebody else, didn't he?
No, I'm not sure. Like I say, he's been out of sight and out of mind.
I'm pretty sure he did, because after his last fight on a paid network, it was poor. I won't say poor performance, it was just low action. And I think HBO let him go after that. And on top of that, I'm pretty sure he got a new promoter too. I think down in South Florida, I believe.
I wasn't all too sure as to, you know, what was happening with Guillermo Rigondeaux in this case. So that was kind of something that I was basically waiting on to see what was happening with that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else there that y'all wanted to touch on?
Well, I'm just here for the beer.
And true. I basically ran through everything as far as like what happened the last week, with that Santa Cruz Marez fight. Yeah, like I said, that was a very good fight from start to finish. And Santa Cruz was able to pull it out. You know, at first I thought Marez was going to win that fight because of, you know, his previous experience and with other big fights that he had. But Santa Cruz was able to be patient through those first few rounds and basically, you know, take over, you know, for the rest of the fight. Two judges gave him 9 rounds. I'd say he won about, you know, 8. They maybe could have gave him 9, but I knew he won 8. I didn't necessarily think he won 9, but I knew he won 8. So, you know, Santa Cruz was able to get one of those WBC diamond belts, and that was basically the gist of it with Santa Cruz. So, we're just going to be waiting on to see what else he'll be able to do. But, you know, right now, at least, you know, they had that, you know, that card go on. It basically starts up the whole thing with boxing now. Things are starting to pick up. Like I said, after Labor Day, it really starts to get going. Hopefully next week I'll have an interview with a couple of the Olympic hopefuls. That'll be in Baltimore after Labor Day. They're going to have the second set of Olympic trials there. So that's what's going to be going on. And we'll see if we'll get that, you know, them on, and then see if I could get an interview with Austin Trout while he is here in the area before he goes up, before he has his fight on one of the PBC cards. You know, so that's pretty much the gist of it. As well, is there anything else you wanted to say, Tom?
No, just, we're building boxing back 1 week at a time, one fight at a time. Just once again, just stating the points that we already made. Glad to see boxing growing back on regular TV once again, like it was when I grew up. Enjoy the discussion of boxing.
whether it be I agree with your point or not, it doesn't matter. It's boxing. I love boxing. Boxing will always be my favorite sport. Once again, main point, looking forward to this last quarter of the year. That's going to build up on the fights for next year that we talk about and hope to get made. So,
Yeah, no doubt on that one.
Thanks for the platform, man.
So, all right, no doubt, man. You know, I do it every week, 7:30 on Sunday nights. And, you know, just make sure that y'all, you know, just catch those shows that are, you know, coming up here. Every Sunday night, 7:30, and we have our sister shows on the MRN Broadcasting Channel, Tuesdays at 8:30 with the Cold Hard Truth on Sports, and also Wednesdays at 8:30 with the CMT Firestone Football Talk Show. You can catch it, 347-237-5539, and I'll, you know, close off the show here, and like I say, at the end of every show, Porter Boxing is a hit. And I get hit, not a standing trade. And on that note, folks, I'm out. Have a good evening.